Lord God Almighty, send your spirit and speak to us. Allow us to hear in the language of our heart. Break through and make the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight and pleasing when we go out into the world. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. I want you to take a moment and think with me. Think about that you have a doctorate in medicine, philosophy, and theology, and all the trappings that go with that. Is there anything in the Bible, a story or parable in the Bible, that would tell you, I'm going to Africa? If you could play an organ as well as anybody in all of Europe and had the opportunity to play in any cathedral or place that had a pipe organ and you could play it at any time you wanted to, but you would give it up to go to a place that didn't have an organ to live? What if you were a professor in a university, one of the finest in all of Europe, and you decided this story in the Bible has convicted me to go to Africa? The story that Mark just read, the parable that Mark just read, had that effect on Albert Schweitzer. Think about leaving all that you have, all that you own, all that you know, the things that have brought you joy, leaving it to do what God called you to do. That's kind of overwhelming, isn't it? This past Friday, I was spending some time with Dondra, and Dondra asked me, or she told me, that she had listened to a podcast. And I wasn't aware of the podcast, and we started talking about parts of the podcast. And then about 4 o'clock, Gretchen texts me with a link and says something like, you ought to listen to this podcast. It was the same podcast that Dondra and I had been talking about. And I listened to it. And then at 7 o'clock, Dondra sent me another text with the link to the podcast also. And I thought, I guess God's trying to tell me something. And so then yesterday morning, I was putting the finishing touches on my sermon. And I put the finishing touches on my sermon. And yesterday afternoon, I thought, I wonder if God was trying to tell me something with all these links to this podcast and us having conversations with this podcast. And so I prayed about it, and he did. In the podcast, which I'm not going to go into all of what the podcast, one of the people in the podcast that was being interviewed was a preacher by the name of Kevin Thompson. He's a Baptist preacher. He was raised in Portsmouth, Arkansas. To hear him talk about Portsmouth, Arkansas, he said, is a church-centric, family-centric community. It was very common for people to go to church. He was around people all the time. That family was big to them. So it shaped his life. Somewhere in the, I'm guessing in middle school or sometime, he accepted Christ. He felt when he was in high school that he was being called to the ministry, and he began to teach some. The preacher let him teach some Sunday school classes. He began even doing programs on Wednesday nights in some of the people, other Baptist churches, I guess. He would, when somebody was going to be out, they would ask him to preach and teach. And one of the confirmations he had was he was preaching a series of sermons on a Wednesday night at a Baptist church, and he preached about seeing God in nature. And he knew that he had, the sermon fell flat on his face. You know, it was just, nobody got it. You know what it's like. Y'all listen to me on a regular basis. You know, and anyway, he knew it, and that's the way he felt. And he was wondering if he was actually being called to the ministry, and he walks out of the church, and all of a sudden a meteor goes by, lights up the sky. And he looks around, and there's nobody there but him. And for him, he got affirmation, and he became a preacher. He preached some in college, and then he went to seminary, and he ended up at a Baptist seminary. And in his first preaching class, he had an African-American professor, Reverend Dr. Robert Smith. It was a preaching class, and this is what happens in preaching classes. You read, you study, and you listen and watch a lot of sermons. And you have to preach a fair amount, 10 to 12 minute sermons. And in the course of that, once you get through preaching, then your class gets to critique you. And it's an unwritten rule in those seminary preaching classes. Be kind to those who just got through preaching, because they're going to judge you in another week. And so you really are. And so this one time he preached on Ezekiel in the Valley of the Dry Bones. And he thought he preached a really good sermon because his classmates approved of what he said. And then someone said, I guess it was an African American, they said, in the black church, that is one of those scriptures that is big in the black church. That is one that you preach a lot of, that and the Exodus. He said, that was a big one. And he said, I've heard a lot of sermons on the dry bones, but I've never heard anybody preach about it as if the preacher was the prophet. In the black church, we're always the dry bones. And then the professor said to Robert Smith, I've noticed that when you preach, no matter the story or the parable that you're preaching from, you're always the person of power. If you're preaching on the Good Samaritan, you're always the Levite or the priest. You're not really ever the Samaritan, and you're surely not the man on the side of the road lying, needing a Savior. You're not the thief on the cross who's saying, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And what Kevin said was he came to the understanding that he had blind spots in his life and the way that he looked at life and the way life happens to people. And so my guess is that sometimes when we start looking at hearing these parables, we too have blind spots, and we never put ourselves in a certain place. It's hard to understand that. Now, in the first service, Jim Lundy was the person who read the scripture. Well, he had been praying about the scripture and reading the scripture all week. And when he got up this morning, he put on a purple shirt. Did y'all get that Lazarus, the rich man, he wore purple? So Jim relates to the man in purple. Who do you relate to? Who do you relate to? Are you someone who needs a Savior? Do you understand and see yourself as a beggar? Or do you see yourself with plenty? Who are you? Is anybody in here other than me ever said, if I had known then what I know now, I'd have done things differently? If I'd known I was going to feel this way back when I was a teenager, I wouldn't have been doing all those whatevers it was that I was doing, because it surely, or if you'd have known what was going to happen immediately after these words, you would never say, hold my beer and watch this. Right? That's what we see in the rich man and Lazarus. They come to the conclusion, when all is said and done, it's not all said and it's not all done. And he's at a place where he wishes he had done things differently. And he becomes a beggar, doesn't he? He becomes a beggar. It's interesting. The rich man and Lazarus were neighbors. They saw each other, but the rich man really didn't know Lazarus. It's interesting in this, in the Gospel of Luke, we talk about it, it's the reversal of roles. What we think those who are on the inside are really on the outside, and the people that look like they're on the outside in society are on the inside. Those who are rich are poor, and the ones who are poor are rich. Everybody knows a rich man's name, don't they? You go to Forbes, and you can look up, and you know who the richest people are, don't you? Y'all know who the richest people are in the world? Do you? You know, you can look at Elon Musk. He's number one. There's Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Larry Page, Warren Buffett. Have you ever seen the 200 poorest people in the world? Do we know the poor? Do you know the names of the poor? Every city and town that I've ever known, there's usually a city cemetery or a church that has a cemetery, and they have pauper graves. But the people who are in those graves typically are not named, they are numbered. And yet in our story, the one who you would think would have a name doesn't have a name, and the one who shouldn't have a name has a name. There's no name for the rich man. We have given him the name. Most people, or throughout tradition, we've given him the name Dives. Dives is, in Latin, means rich. But in God's economy and in God's life, he knows the names. They're written in his book. They're on his heart. I have no trouble remembering the names of some people. I have a terrible time remembering the names of others. The older I get, it's even harder to remember names. The rich man didn't do anything evil, did he? In the scripture, did he do anything evil? He just did. He did life. He wasn't mean to Lazarus. He didn't kick him off at the gate. He didn't tell his servants they can't give him food or you can't be kind to him. He just didn't do anything. I don't know if it was apathy or indifference. I don't know if he didn't know or he didn't care. In life, you know, there is, I'm going to point over this side this year. There is this evil in this extreme. And then there's extremely holy. And many of us, the best we can say is, at least I'm not evil, which puts you in the middle. But that is not what Jesus requires of us, is it? Well, I'm not as bad as him. And the poor starve to death. The lonely die alone. You see, we have a higher standard, don't we? We're supposed to love everyone. The standard is there. And yet so often we settle for here. I guess it is better than over there, but is it? Many years ago, before Mother Teresa died, I don't remember, my mind is not that good, It was either 60 Minutes, 2020, somebody did a documentary on Mother Teresa. And they went through all of Calcutta, and they followed her and watched her do what Mother Teresa did. They're the orphans, the children who were left, nobody wanted. There were those who were not only not wanted, but they had birth defects. They had all kinds of problems. There were those who were diseased. They had all of these people along the way, and she cared for all of them. And over the course of that hour show, they had commercials. And because of the time of the day and the audience that would be watching it, there was the advertisement for the luxury car, the luxury watch, the luxury vacation, opulence and extravagance in the midst of the pain and suffering of the loss of those poor people in Calcutta. And the difference could not be more apparent. Who are we in the story? There was a cartoon, Garfield. Y'all know Garfield? It's a cold night. Garfield is looking out the window, snowing, and the dog is outside, looking inside, whimpering like, "Can you help me? Can you help me? Can you let me in? Please let me in." And Garfield is like, "I can't watch this anymore." And instead, though, of opening the door and let the dog in, he goes over to the curtains and closes the curtains. It's easy to laugh at that, you know, because that's funny. I don't care who you are. It isn't until we put people's names and faces with it, isn't it? Till all of a sudden, we realize we don't know their names. And then they die. And the angel of death carries Lazarus to the bosom of Abraham, the father of the faith, lays him down beside him. The one who is the poorest was the richest in faith and enjoys the presence of God and the kingdom of God. And the one who had it all, by the world standard, is escorted straight to hell and says, "I wish I'd have known then what I know now." But if you stop and think about it, poor man Lazarus had nothing. And at any moment in the day or in any time when somebody showed him kindness, he experienced in miniature the kingdom of God. When he was satisfied with food, when someone cared about him, when somebody did something nice to him, in miniature he experienced the kingdom of God. And what he experienced in miniature in this life, he experienced extravagantly. Where in the case of the rich man, who had all the things that you would want in this life, but never was an agent for kindness or helping of anyone else, was not an agent for the kingdom of God to break into someone else's life. His eternal life was equal to his life on this earth without God, with pain. And the question really becomes for us, how do we see the poor? How do we see those who are hurting? And what do we do about it? How do we stop closing the curtains? How do we understand what God is asking us to do? To do and to be agents of the kingdom of God breaking into the lives of people who desperately need it. That's a question. Maybe that's what Albert Schweitzer was tormented about. Have it all, but have nothing. Have nothing, but have it all. May we wrestle. May we wrestle. What's important? And how do we share it? So that other people might experience something that will bring them eternal joy, eternal gladness, and eternity with God. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for your stories. Lord, open our eyes to see what we need to see in the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. Reveal to us, are we the rich man? Are we the poor man? Are we starving for you? Or are we a glutton? Lord, help us. We ask this in your Son's holy name. Amen.